We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Michigan gets another big win, 63-10 over the second time they had to face the Huskies. 2 weeks ago it was Washington, this week Northern Illinois, and they are ready to get to that Big Ten season. We'll talk all about this game, plus a little bit of a look ahead to the Rutgers matchup, all here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
So many players played. I mean, there's 100 guys that got into a Michigan, over 100 that got into a Michigan football game. I mean, I think that's got to be some kind of record. And guys went in and did really well.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
That was a great performance, and I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about it a little bit more. I'm going to bring in my partner, Brian Bush.
Yeah, John, lots to talk about from this one, the result and the future as we get set for Big Ten play coming up next week. But let's begin with the game itself. And, you know, offensively, the numbers were even more gaudy than last week, but the opponent not as talented. So how does this stack up to last week?
Well, yeah, it's a completely different opponent than Washington, so you would expect the stats would be a little bit better. 606 yards of total offense, and we'll talk about the pass game here in just a little bit. But when you can't talk about one without the other. When you are able to hit some balls downfield and take some big plays, now all of a sudden, instead of running into a nine-man box all the time, they can't just discount the pass game. They've got to account for that. So all of a sudden, it opens up some more running game lanes. And when you have guys like Blake Corum, you have guys like Donovan Edwards, Hassan Haskins, that continually, you know, make you pay if you're not disciplined, then it's an unbelievable weapon that they continue to utilize. And I think there's a lot of Big Ten teams right now that are looking at it going, boy, we're going to have to try and figure out how to stop this Michigan offense.
Yeah, and the running game, I mean, you saw it from Hassan, from Donovan Edwards getting an opportunity, some of the guys further down the depth chart. But for me, Blake Corum jumps off the page, screen, field, whatever you're watching or following this game on, his elusiveness, his toughness, it's just such a joy to watch.
It is. It's fun to watch him because, as I mentioned at the half, when he gets hit in the backfield or has to evade a guy in the backfield, that's not ideal. But when you have the ability and the balance, and Dan mentioned it, when your strike zone is not a big strike zone, it's really fun to watch a player like that. And you know, whether it's been on the podcast or it's been on interviews, we've heard about how hard he works in the offseason to train his body so that he can be a weapon in the pass game, in the run game, on special teams. He's just a very dynamic special player.
Yeah, he's so tough to get down onto the turf. It's remarkable. So you mentioned the passing game. Cade McNamara, 8 of 11, 191 yards, and that long touchdown pass to Cornelius Johnson. Assess Cade and what that long touchdown pass can do for him, for Cornelius, for this passing game as a whole moving into Big Ten play.
Well, really, there should have been more deep passes that were connected on. Cornelius did a great job on that 87-yard touchdown catch of not breaking stride, learning really from what he missed on that second one. The pass that Cade McNamara had that was just, everybody thought was overthrown just a little bit. Cornelius Johnson needs to do a better job of running through his route. Instead of turning his shoulders and looking at the ball, it slows him down. If he just continues to run to a point where he knows that ball is going to be, that's another touchdown. I thought that the timing for Cade McNamara, the protection for him, his ability to utilize and for Josh Gattis to call the play action pass and make that a weapon that you're using, it's very exciting to see, and it's only going to get better.
Let's go to the defense. You take out the second drive of the game. That was Northern's only drive with a pulse in anywhere close to not garbage time. That was a 72-yard drive for a field goal. Here were the other yardage totals for the NIU drives. 3, minus 3, 1, 11, 24, 0, 0, 5, 24. That's 65 total yards on 9 drives. Incredible effort. What stood out?
It's just the defense, their ability to communicate, their ability for Mike McDonald to change things up. They're never really in the same set twice. Even if you're faced with the same personnel group, if you're faced with the same formation, there's always something different that he's doing, and he's doing it a lot with the linebackers. You could see him moving the guys in the defensive backfield around, and it's the personnel that he uses up front. You've seen Aiden Hutchinson line up pretty much anywhere across the ball. And to be able to utilize those guys up front at a number of different positions, it's going to continue to keep offenses guessing, because they're going to have to account for Aiden Hutchinson no matter where he is. And if you can line him up at any point across the ball, especially now that he's playing a lot of the time with his, without his hand in the dirt, it makes it that much more difficult to be able to communicate, whether it's protections or it's run blocking schemes. And he's really confusing the opposing offenses.
You know how much of a grind the Big Ten schedule is, and you and your depth will be tested in this league over the next 9 games. Just how valuable is it that Michigan could delve so deeply into its bench and get guys some really valuable reps?
Well, when you get a chance to play over 100 guys in a game, that's outstanding, because that not only develops your depth for this year or something you may need later this year, you're starting to work on experience that will pay off in 22 or in 23. So there's a lot of dividends that will pay from this game. But the nice thing about it is when you look at this offensive line and the defensive line, talking to Sherrone Moore, this is one of the deepest offensive lines that I've seen at Michigan in some time. So if somebody goes down, Zach Zinter wasn't able to play in that first game against Western Michigan. They didn't miss a beat. Now that he's back, we saw Chuck Filiaga. We've seen other guys be in there, be out of there, and there is absolutely no difference in how this offensive line performs. That is huge, because it is a long, grueling Big Ten season. At some point, somebody's going to miss some time. It's the same thing up front for the defensive line. They continue to run those guys in there and change personnel groups, and I already mentioned it. It confuses the defense, but it gets those guys experience so that if somebody does have to miss a game, now all of a sudden, hey, it's next man up, and it's not somebody's first start or it's their first rep in a game.
We'll chat about the long-term ramifications here in a bit, but first, we listen back to our post-game interviews, and as always, we start with head coach Jim Harbaugh.
Coach, the game started off 9 drives, 9 touchdowns. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Yeah, it was. Guys were really executing, running backs, quarterbacks, receivers, and the line, tight ends. Defense did a heck of a job. Everybody playing penalty free for the most part. Just doing a heck of a job. Great team win. Special teams was outstanding. AJ Henning returning the punts was right on. I think he's got a chance to be one of the really good ones.
Defense forced a turnover as well. That had to be a good sight and a good feeling.
Yeah, it was. We haven't turned the ball over on offense, but we hadn't gotten any turnovers up until that point, so it's good to be plus one in the turnover margin.
And with that interception return, there were 10 plays over 20 yards today, an explosive output. How important is it to continue that momentum as you start the Big Ten season?
Well, it's all about the Big Ten season. Now it starts next week. That's what we talked about in the locker room after the game. And it was a great day for executing and being good on all sides of the ball and special teams, and also a great morale builder too, because so many players played. I mean, there's 100 guys that got into a Michigan, over 100 that got into a Michigan football game. I mean, I think that's got to be some kind of record. And guys went in and did really well. I mean, our third and fourth teams in there, getting the experience of playing. You know, I mean, once you play in a game and you get the practice of it, you start realizing football, you can do it. You get the confidence and, hey, this isn't as hard as I thought. I can go in there and play and do my job. And so that was great to see. And coaches as well, great morale on the coaching staff. And so, but we're not going to fall in love with ourselves or our stuff. We're because we know we can get better.
All right, let's talk some individuals. Cade McNamara, good first half. J.J. McCarthy in the second half. You mentioned the experience, but what did you see from Cade that, you like going into the Big Ten season?
Well, I think, I've been thinking that, the timing with the receivers in the pass game has been really good all through camp and through the first 3 weeks of the season. Cornelius Johnson had a chance to really step up and show what he can do. Timing was there. Cade sat in the pocket, saw the field real well, and made a real great throw on the long 83-yarder. I thought he, once again, really operated the offense, calm, cool, and collected it at all times out there. And Daylon Baldwin, see him get into the action. And also what Roman and A.J. can do. They've shown what they can do on the reverses and things like that, but they're really good receivers as well.
And Blake Corum, third straight game over 100 yards in the backfield. I know you talk about it as well as it. It's a big performance for him, but it's also that offensive line. But this offense just keeps churning out yards on the ground.
Well, there's no question that the backs are really good. Blake Corum is a really really good back, and shows a sign. I mean, there's a dynamic there with their two styles. And then you had Donovan Edwards, who also had a big long run as well. I mean, what he can do. I mean, those three are quite a tandem.
The defense started with a three
trio.
And out.
Trio.
Trio, yes. The defense started with a three and out, and then there was a 70-play drive that the defense stiffened up, only allowed a field goal. Yeah. What changed after that drive?
I mean, there was so many three and outs in the game. I mean, six or seven, yeah. something like that. Don't know that anything changed. They hit us on a play, a couple plays, a couple quarterback keepers that we have to play and be more disciplined with. But another great game called by Mike, and for the most part, I thought we did really well. I mean, a lot of drives where they didn't score points, a lot of drives that were three and out and got the ball right back for the offense.
What was the message to the team about, hey, the three non-conference games are over, now the Big Ten season starts?
You just hit it right there. yeah, it's time for Big Ten play now. Let's keep working, keep getting better, and see how good we can get.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you.
There's head coach Jim Harbaugh after the 63-10 win over Northern Illinois on Saturday. Now let's get to some of the player interviews. First up, wide receiver Cornelius Johnson. He caught up with Doug Karsh on the field right after the clock hit zero.
First, let's start with the effort today. You guys, I know the focus in the building was to get better at each position all week long and not let an upset even work its way into possibility. Is this game evidence that you guys took care of business in that regard, getting ready for this one?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it really boils down to execution. That's what we're focused on in this game. Coming back, plays we practiced this whole week and making sure we convert that from what we did over on State Street and coming over here on Main Street and putting that out and putting something good on film.
Okay, you guys last week, everybody talked about, oh, they got to get the pass game going, got to get the pass game going. You wide receivers had to love it today.
Yeah, I don't know what the final stats were, but, it's always good to have a good balanced attack.
Obviously, you got loose on the deep ball. Take us through that play from your perspective.
Oh, that was a call we called from the sideline, and I was just focused on, one step at a time, making sure I look the ball in and stay on my feet.
Obviously, that's kind of the dream, isn't it, catching a deep ball and having that long run to the end zone? Did you feel like you lived out a dream today?
That is a dream, man. I mean, coming here at Michigan in front of 100,000 people and catching a deep touchdown, you know, that's something you think about. That's something I'll think about and remember for the rest of my life.
I almost had two. The first one just past your outstretched arms.
Yeah.
Close one. All right, let's talk about next week. Rutgers, Big Ten play. What do you see in your early read of Rutgers?
After this game, we're about to come back and dissect this film. We're going to analyze it and make sure we correct our little tweaks here and there. And starting, this is going to be our first Big Ten game of 2021 season. So we got to make sure we're locked in for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a side bet with our color commentator, John Jansen, about which wide receiver would break out today. I took Daylon Baldwin. He took Cornelius Johnson. So he's been in my face because you had the big game. So I'll tell him tell him I told you.
Taking side bets? That's hilarious.
Well, you came through. You came through for him.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Well, good job.
Betting on me. Thank you. Go Blue.
Heck of an effort from Cornelius Johnson. Also, it was a nice job from A.J. Henning. He had a 26-yard run, a 24-yard catch, several good punt returns, and a post-game chat with Doug.
A.J., let's start with you. In the punt return game, what did you have to do to prove to the coaches that you should have that job?
I mean, just consistency. You know, I was back there. I was doing it. But, you know, in the past weeks, I was inconsistent, you know, just keying in on all the details and small little things. That was just huge for me to take the next step and, you know, just take over that job.
Well, let's talk about the details and the little things. Did you hit all those benchmarks today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some things we can clean up, definitely looking back at the film. But, you know, the biggest thing is just securing the ball for the offense, and I think I did a good job of that today.
How about getting the ball in the open field? You had a couple that came this close to breaking.
Yeah, we were really close. You know, the punt return team did a good job of setting up blocks for me to, you know, cut and weave throughout there. So we're coming forward next week. We're going to take one back.
All right, you also went 24 yards on a reverse. Take us through that play.
Yeah, you know, on the reverse, I think it was Hassan who pitched it back to me. I just saw a bunch of open field and, you know, just read off those blocks.
How good did it feel for you guys on the outside to get involved today? Last week, I'm sure you were happy with the win, but to contribute more today, how'd that feel?
No doubt, you know, just getting in there and, you know, showing the ability that we can throw the ball, not only run. You know, we take great pride in blocking, but it's always good to throw the ball and show what we can do when we get the ball in hand on the outside. So it was a lot of fun and looking to keep building, keep getting better, and moving on to next week.
How about the deep ball to Cornelius? What'd you see there?
Oh, that was awesome. Great drive of tracking the ball for him. We knew we'd have a chance to, you know, throw over the top of them, and it was just a matter of time until we got one connected. So that was great.
Yeah, their defense kind of dictated you guys would play a bigger role. Is this kind of what it's going to be week to week? You'll be able to move the ball on the ground if necessary, and if a defense is going to stack up against the run, you can get it done through the air?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the identity of this offense is still being built, and, you know, we established ourselves in the run game, and, you know, today we show we can pass the ball very well, too. So, you know, there's no telling when you're game planning for us what we're going to do.
Big Ten play starts next week. How prepared do you guys feel for conference play right now?
We're prepared. We've been waiting to get in the Big Ten play, and now that it's finally upon us, we're ready to get after it.
One other thing, AJ, before we let you go, a lot of guys got to play today. How fun is it for you guys to see guys down on the depth chart to start to make some plays, even some walk-ons getting in the game?
Right, no doubt. You know, that this is like one of those wholesome, like, just great team wins where you see everybody, guys who just busting their tails on the scout team throughout the week, get a chance to get in the game and show what they can do. You know, that's just the best feeling for everyone on the team.
Do you have any favorites, either guys that you're tutoring, some of the young guys, or maybe some of the guys you go against on the scout team every week?
Let's see. You know, it was great to see Jesse Madden get in there. He's a fan favorite for the team. So it was great to see all those guys get in there. A lot of guys made an opportunity. A lot of guys show what they can do for the first time in game. So it was great.
AJ Henning, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Brian, back to you.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We flip things over to the Michigan defense. So many contributors, including Jamon Green. Here are his postgame thoughts.
Jamon, first of all, the overall feeling in this locker room after a dominating win.
I feel good right now. Everybody excited. I'm excited, you know what I'm saying, for everybody on the field, everybody that played today.
Obviously, a lot of guys got to play. Did you get a kick out of watching some of the guys down the depth chart to get their opportunities?
Oh, yeah, especially my brother. My brother went out there today for his first Michigan football defense play, you know what I'm saying? So it feel good to just watch them guys fly around.
All right, tell us, evaluate your brother. How'd he do?
He only got like two plays, but he did good. He did his assignment right, so that was good.
Obviously, you did your assignment right on the interception. Take us through it from your perspective.
I didn't play my assignment right.
You didn't? What'd you
do? I did. I got the interception. I just took it. It fell to my hands. I think it was Junior. Junior had tipped the ball on with the receiver, and it fell to my hands, and I almost dropped it, kind of. And I tried to take it back to the crib, but the old lineman came and got me.
Talking to your defense coordinator, Mike McDonald, this week, he made the comment that the one thing he wanted to see is you guys get more turnovers. Has that been a point of emphasis in practice?
Oh, yeah, every week, every day. Because they be saying, if you ain't going to get it in practice, you're not going to get it in the games. So we've been trying to get turnovers in practice, and it carried over to the game. So
the other thing that we keep hearing about Mike McDonald is his ability to predict plays, to know what's happening before the ball is snapped. And you guys out on the corner, maybe sometimes you can hear him. How much has he helped you just pre-snap?
He helped us a lot. We even practice like plays, going over the plays in the West End. So he do a good like reading the offense. Kind of, he good at that.
Did you get a chance to watch our offense much? And if you did, what'd you think?
Oh, they played their ass off. Excuse my language, but they played their butt off for sure.
All right, let's talk about Big Ten play starts next week. Last year, obviously a frustrating year in the Big Ten, but how do you feel about this year going into Big Ten play?
We're going to be good this year. I promise you that. We're going to be focused and we're going to play physical. That's our emphasis this year, for be physical. Nobody can out-physical us. So we're going to try to be physical this year and protect the fades and all that, slants, all that.
Obviously, upsets can happen during the week. If you don't get prepared properly, is today's result an indication of how you guys prepared Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Right, and we're going to do it again next week for Rutgers.
Jamon Green, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Last but very much not least, we hear from the biggest stat stuffer from Michigan's non-conference slate, running back Blake Corum.
Blake, three more touchdowns for you today and another job by the offensive line. Let's start there. Talk about the holes you had to run through.
Man, they made my job easy once again. You know, they were real physical up front, allowing me to have one-on-ones, and they did their job. I did my job, and like I said, shout out to them.
First touchdown of the game following Eric All into the end zone. Take us through that play.
You know, Eric's a hard hitter. He's a physical guy. And so when he came off and he hit the D end, it was a walk-in, really. The linebacker number two tried to hit me, but, you know, I gave him a little something, give him a little oomph, and that was that.
The long touchdown run, you got the edge, and it looked like they had an angle on you, but you're able to outrace a guy. What did you see there?
I just saw green grass. You know, I trust my speed, and so I figured I was too close to the sideline to make a juke move, and so I just put my head down and went.
And the last one, you put the ball over the top, and I saw when you came to the sideline, Mike Hart, the running back coach, hugged you, but then talked to you. What did he say to you?
You know, he just told me if you're going to jump, don't reach the ball on a second down. That's a fourth down play. He said, be smart about it, you know. But, you know, that's the type of lessons that Coach Hart gives us. And he wasn't mad at me or nothing. It was just a lesson in the making. But that's all he said.
Obviously, over 600 yards of offense and 63 points, you got to like that. But the passing game got going today. Those guys, I'm sure, were chomping at the bit to make some plays. Those guys on the outside, did they talk at all this week about trying to step up?
No, they didn't really talk much because we knew we had a pass game. I mean, the outsiders didn't think we had one. But we have one. And so, you know, they did a phenomenal job, as I know they would. And that's really that.
You get through non-conference 3-0. Conference play starts next week. How ready are you for you guys for some big games ahead? Rutgers with their defense and Wisconsin and Madison after that. How ready are you guys for that stretch?
I feel like we're ready. But like we're going to put this win beside us and put our heads down, get back to the film, get ready for work this week, and take it to Rutgers Saturday.
Blake Corum, thanks for your time.
I appreciate it.
Thanks to Coach Harbaugh, to Cornelius, AJ, Jamon, and Blake for all talking with John and Doug here in the postgame. Didn't get a chance to hear from Jim and Dan very much in the postgame because that game on Saturday went so well. Head coach Jim Harbaugh was already ready for his postgame thoughts before we could hear from Jim and Dan, so we'll get back to them next week as they continue their farewell tour. All right, John, let's look ahead as well. How ready, in your estimation, is this team for Big Ten play, and how well did this non-conference slate prepare the Maize and Blue for what's to come?
Well, Michigan has to have a lot of confidence, obviously, coming out of three wins. And anytime you score 63 points, you start off the game with nine drives, nine touchdowns, that's going to continue to build confidence. But the Big Ten season is different. And it's not going to be like playing Washington or Northern Illinois or Western Michigan. It's going to be more physical. It's going to be – there's more on the line. Every single game is going to be important in regards to these kids' goals of winning a Big Ten championship, trying to get that opportunity to go to Indianapolis. So there's the pressure is going to be ramped up, the physicality is going to be ramped up, and it starts with Rutgers. And I know Rutgers hasn't been a good program for a number of years, but Greg Schiano has them playing extremely well. We know last year it took triple overtime to win. It's going to be in the Big House. It's going to be an opportunity for Michigan to continue making their statement of it's not about the teams we're playing. Yes, we need to know everything about Rutgers, and the next week after that it's going to be Western Michigan, but it's about Michigan improving and making sure that a 63-10 victory, that you don't gloss over any of those any of those warts that you might have an opportunity to look over simply because it was a dominating performance.
As you know, John, it's about winning Big Ten championships here in Ann Arbor. What have you seen from the league so far, knowing that there's still some action to go here on Saturday, of course, but what have you seen, and how does Michigan stack up in your eyes?
I think Michigan steps up great because they've been tested in terms of being a physical team, and they've passed all of those tests. Now they have to show that they're not just a physical team, but they can be a team that takes chunk yardage plays. Now, they did that today, but again, it's against Northern Illinois, so you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. And, you know, when you play a team like Wisconsin in 2 weeks, they're not the team that we've seen previously because they don't have that one dominant running back that they've generally always have. But the other, on the flip side of that, it's still going to Madison. It's still a team that has basically rolled over Michigan the last couple of years. And so there's going to be a mental side that Michigan has to overcome. You've been able to win at home. We'll see what happens next week. It is homecoming, but you have to prove that you can go on the road against a good team, against a good program, and get a win.
And you alluded to Rutgers a little bit earlier here, John. This is not the Rutgers program we saw 3 years ago. Michigan will be favored. They should be favored. This is another take-care-of-business type of a game. But they've got athletes. They've got players. They have talent on that side.
Well, they do. And what this era of college football that we're in is allowing is teams like Rutgers, teams like Michigan State that were down or they had a coaching change, to go out there and make wholesale changes on their roster. Michigan State has, 47 new faces, whether it's freshmen or transfers. And I don't know what the score is right now, Brian, but I know that they were leading down in Miami.
They're probably going to win. They're up by two scores with 4:12 left.
So it just goes to show you what you can do from year to year. And so going into this season, you would have penciled that in as a win. You would have penciled in Rutgers as a win. Some of these other teams where, you know, you think, well, Indiana was supposed to be a lot better and they're not showing as much as they did last year. This Big Ten slate that Michigan has, it's tough, it's going to be physical, and they have to, this is why I've been harping on this the entire season so far. It's not about the team across from you. If you focus on that team solely, then you're going to miss a week of development, and you can't do that in the Big Ten.
John, it was a busy week for you. Congratulations to you and your beautiful wife, Lisa, the birth of your son, Teddy. Go get some sleep. Maybe. I know you'll probably be locked in on BYU Arizona State at 10:15 Eastern, but try to get a little bit of rest and give her a little bit of sleep.
Well, she's going to get to sleep, and I would be up watching football anyway, so if there's a bottle, if there's a diaper, I'll be on that duty today. But thank you, and thanks to all of our listeners, all the Michigan fans who showed support all week long. I can't say thanks enough. The Michigan family felt all the love this week, and Brian, I'm looking forward to rolling up again and and we'll do this again next week.
Congrats, John. We appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, and go Blue.
Great stuff. Michigan a winner, 63-10. Another big week coming up here on MGo Blue Podcast. On Tuesday, Defend the Block with Kobe Bufkin of Michigan Men's Basketball. In the Trenches on Wednesday, Conquering Heroes set for Thursday. And you heard from John there. He and his lovely wife, Lisa, did indeed have a child this week, so we weren't able to get John's keys to the game and locker room speech. He joked that he gave his wife a locker room speech before heading to the hospital. Everything went well. Teddy is a future star here for the Maize and Blue, but we will be back with our keys to the game and locker room speech edition on Friday. And then Saturday, Michigan and Rutgers with a post-game edition to follow. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Subscribe, rate, and review. Michigan, a commanding win, 63-10. As always, we thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.